Hey, listeners, welcome to the Food Business Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Feller. And today I have with me Ainsley Moyer from the Healthy Food and is it Healthy Food and Beverage Group? Is that right? Would I get the name right there?
Yeah, Ainsley. Healthy Food and Beverage Group. Yep.
There we go. So Ainsley, I'm going to have her talk about her health in a minute here. But basically today we just wanted to get together and talk about trends that her and I are seeing in the packaging world and in hopes that like maybe that will help you business owners out there to come up with your own strategy for packaging or see if it's all if you're staying whether it's on trend or what, but basically to do your best to help you guys sell more products on your shelves too. So Ainsley, welcome to the show. And like for people who maybe don't know who you are or have not heard of the Healthy Food and Beverage Group, tell us what you do.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for having me on, Adam. Really excited to chat with you about this. So I run the Healthy Food and Beverage Group. We are a consulting and training company for food and beverage businesses that are healthy, as you can tell by the name. Yeah. So we help people.
Is that a prerequisite? Is that a prerequisite? Do they have to be healthy?
I want it to be healthier than what's in the market right now. So it is variable. As long as we're not selling just sugar water, then let's put it into the market. I had too many years of doing that, so I'm trying to make the food industry a little bit better with it. Help people at all different stages, whether you're just getting ready to launch or whether you are looking to scale your business to that next level. Really helping people just bring their food dreams to life and bring that great product that they know how to make into the market in a successful way.
Awesome. Yeah. And I will, it's a loss of words here for this, but Ainsley does a great job what she does. So if you guys are looking for someone to consult with or looking for coaching, I'd highly recommend talking to Ainsley and she'll point you in the right direction or help you out herself. So let's get to it. So as far as how we're going to start this, we're talking about packaging trends. I know listeners out there that this is a podcast and it's not visual, so we're not going to be able to show you like the cool designs and stuff that I would love to do as a designer, owning Avidity Creative. Like, yeah, we do creative stuff all the time. Then we do tons of packaging, tons of logos and stuff, tons of displays, but it's really hard to show you the visual stuff. So what we're going to try to talk about probably more is like the functionality and the strategy and some like aspects or features of different packaging that we see. But Ainsley, do you have a topic that maybe you want to start with as far as like maybe I know you put a social media post out maybe it's a couple of weeks ago now, and for listeners, this is probably going to be for you maybe a month afterwards. But I read through those topics just to kind of refresh myself of what you have mentioned too. But is there one really big trend that you would say that you're seeing that you want to start with?
Yeah. So, I mean, one really big trend, I think it's interesting. Oh gosh, there's so many different trends in this industry. I don't have one specific to say, go with this.
The biggest one.
It's interesting because I actually see kind of like two big ones that are happening that are kind of opposite and parallel going forward in the market. So one being coming back to this more simple design, this kind of connecting people into nature, into elements, this more subdued type look. And then at the same time, we're seeing this like big, bold, kind of like 90s-ish like vibe, 2000s vibe at the same time. So one like high contrast, high visual, all of that. And then the other, this really like connected into nature and everything. So they're actually very polar opposite, but I think both are really needed in what's happening right now, just in the world. I see why both are connecting with people.
Yeah. And I think that those two things that sort of subdued like nature-y like vibe to it, like, and like you said, they're both like kind of simple and kind of minimalist. But I'm also getting like a lot of the 90s look, and as a designer, a lot of us hate it. Like the 90s, it seems like of all the eras out there for graphic design styles, the 90s has to be the worst. Like all the imagery is like very high contrast, but I'm also seeing that too in what's interesting, and I'll try to transition this. One of my topics was also going to be about minimalism, and that, like, that's a lot of what we're seeing. And I would say that it's probably rightfully so when it comes to minimalism, because the in the packaging world and when you're in the grocery store, the things that stand out the most are what take up the most visual space in your peripheral, right? So like those big solid blocks of color stand out very well against a shelf of cereal boxes that are covered with cartoons in different mm-hmm. colors. You walk down an aisle of like snack bars and stuff, you'll see tons of just either wacky designs or just lots of colors going on. So those ones that tend to stand out a lot really well. And like people, when I'm working on a new project, I've had people mention to me a lot of times like RX bar. And like, it's just a solid color packaging with like a straightforward list. And that's their thing, right? But those solid colors take up more visual space as you're walking by, and it's very easy to, and they're just clean and it's easy to understand. So I think that that's a trend that's probably not going anywhere anytime soon. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. You're bang on there too, where it's like that simpleness and taking up people's like peripheral of what they're seeing in the store shelf. Like that can never go away depending on all the different trends. Like simple is going to sell. Like it's going mm-hmm. to make it easier for people to understand what's on your package. And it's interesting because I'm seeing a lot of people think of that. Well, how do I show up on mobile or on Amazon and like stand out there more? But you, no matter how it's coming to life visually, it needs to be clear as to what the heck it is and like grab people's attention for sure. You can't just look like everyone else. And if everyone is like, oh my gosh, I love RX bar, then everyone shows up in the aisle looking like RX bar and then no one stands out and we're in like the exact same problem, you know?
Right, exactly. So maybe kind of similar to those lines of minimalism, like there's different ways to do it too. And one of the trends that I'm seeing now, not even just in packaging, but across graphic design in general, is gradients are coming back. Mm. They're coming back in different ways, whether it's a grainy gradient where, and for people who are not designers, the word gradient is like transition of one color to the next. I don't know if there's any other word for it. Like obviously designers and people who work in this know the word gradient, know what that means, but it's a gradual change of one color to the next. So I'm seeing a lot of that, and it's done in a like grainy form, or it's like not just like a straight one color to the next. It's like spots of different colors. Maybe for people to have a visual reference, look at like the Instagram logo or something. That would be a good example of like a multicolor gradient, and how it's being like. But anyways, that style is coming out in packaging trends now too. But it's still like a minimalist look, it seems. So,
I like it. Do you like that look? Like, I like it personally. But you're the one designing things, so you have a totally different angle too.
So it's weird in that like I do like it. I like it as a case by case sort of philosophy, I suppose, where it does make sense for certain. It depends on who your target audience is. Like I see it a lot more probably in like beauty packaging, like beauty products and stuff. Not so much as in food, but I would say it makes a lot of us designers hypocrites because we've fought against using gradients for so long, and now a lot of designers are using it, myself included, because we're always like, well, gradients don't translate well to different situations. If it's printing, it doesn't look great, or like a digital look, it looks awesome or something. But now we're like, oh yeah, let's use a gradient, and like no one's fighting against it at all. So I don't know. I like it, and it just depends on the case, I suppose. It would depend. But as far as other things that I wanted to talk about, that's maybe in like the visual realm of things. So gradients are one thing. We're seeing a lot of matte finishes, like rather than a glossy finish. Is that something you think is going to stick around for a while?
I think it'll stick around for a little while, for sure. Like I think it's kind of needed, and it's as people are wanting to stand out on store shelf. I think that is a way to do it. It's also, I think people are becoming more sensory exposed in all the different elements now. So it's like visual and touch. We're seeing a lot of people focus more on that touch, that like full experience of it. And I think mm-hmm. Matt actually does a really fantastic job of that, especially if you have a brand that is very just just like wants to stand out is a little bit different and even a little bit more. I wouldn't want to say fully masculine always, but has a little bit more of that masculine edge to it. And that can, you know, that Matt, I feel like, does a really great job of it. I will see it staying. That's my prediction. What about you?
Yeah, I would agree too. I would say that it is like, it's going to be a trend that will go away and it'll come back again, maybe in the future too. But, the more that you see larger brands start to turn to this, like SunChips was probably one of the first ones, I think, that had like a non-glossy packaging for their chips, especially in the snack or like the chip aisle. Like everything is glossy bags, and there's still the majority of them are that way. But because matte finishes used to cost more for people to do for the packaging, so it used to cost more, which was a reason for them to not do it. Of course, in the larger brands, like even if it's just cents on the dollar for each packaging or each of their packages, that like that all adds up. So they choose to not do those matte finishes, just because in their business, like a penny for a bag is going to save them millions of dollars probably. But I think those, I don't know if the bigger brands are like noticing or if their hands are being forced by their competitors, but making those changes to a more dull or matte finish, it makes it feel like it's a higher quality product. It doesn't make it feel as cheap, whether it is cheap or not. Like SunChips are not that expensive. I mean, they're pretty comparable pricing wise to the rest of their category. But it feels like a more artisanal product, and it made sense for them to be one of the first to do it. And then now you're seeing it a lot more. It's like Chickaboom Pop or something like that.
Like really bright colored bag, yeah, too. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Like pink and, yeah. Yeah. But like now you see it for a lot of, especially newer brands. See it a lot because in the coffee industry that I do a ton of projects with coffee, and there it's easy to do. A lot of times it doesn't cost any extra. Mm-hmm. It's just an option for your packaging finish. So I think that it's something that will stick around for a while, but I do think it's something that will go away. Cause I think once everyone starts doing it and it's across the board, I think the next way to stand out will be to go back to a more glossy finish and let's move to this next topic here. Like natural or recycled materials, like that is something I'll see more of for probably more of like the healthier categories. But is that something that you're coming across a lot too? Is like are your clients wanting to do something that's recycled or sustainable type packaging?
This is an interesting one because I don't see this as a trend that is going to go away, because consumers demand for sustainability in packaging, in product, is so high right now. You know, I'm chatting with people where they're like, we can't do anything plastic. We know it's going to cost more, but we want to do full glass. And, you know, finding ways for as much of their packaging and design to be reflect that sustainability and making sure that their package is sustainable as much as possible. It's really changing the way the industry is, because I don't think consumers are as forgiving for companies turning a blind eye to the environmental impact. You know, so many people, you get your package from Amazon or whatever. If you're getting it directly from a consumer or from a like DTC brand, you're getting that at home. And if it's packed full of unnecessary packaging, people are going to get backlash about their brand online now. And so brand owners are really thinking like, how do I make this more sustainable from day one? Recycled packaging, it really is becoming part of a lot of companies' like brand DNA. And so this one I see is going to stay around for a while. And I hope it does, because I mean, we obviously know we all need to take care of the planet as best as possible, but it is still expensive for food companies to do that in some areas right now. But just like you said with the mat, it's like the more people do it, then costs can come down, and that's just going to benefit everyone.
Yeah. Do you think this is maybe not packaging related, but do you think that that people are, like, so you mentioned that it may cost more to do that. Do you think that product makers are eating that cost, or do you think it's being passed on to the consumer in the retail price?
I've seen people kind of do it both. I've seen some people just eat it. To be honest, some of them are just running on two razor thin margins, and they potentially should be passing it on to the consumer. Sure. We have a large group of consumers that will pay that high end price point. People know that if I'm buying local, if I'm buying sustainable, it is going to be higher price. And a lot of people are willing to do that. But I think if we really want to make like an impact from a sustainability perspective as a whole, we need to make it more affordable for everyone, because it can't just be, you know, a percentage of people that are buying sustainable products. Like, realistically, if we want to have the biggest impact from an environmental perspective on the world, we need as many people as possible to like either raise their income level or be able to just have options that can make that impact. This is totally not design related at all.
Yeah.
That's okay. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like sometimes I see a bit of both. Some brands are kind of eating the cost, but a lot of times they're passing it on to consumers. But there's a threshold. Like, you can only go so far, and consumers are like, I don't know if I want to pay this for this. You know what I mean? Yeah. It really has to deliver if it's going to be that.
Yeah. And to kind of talk about like transparency in your business a little bit too. I'm going to come back to packaging here in a second, guys. I know, bear with me here. But when it comes to transparency in your business, if you're you mentioned like your brand's DNA, if that's in your brand DNA to be sustainable and be like environmentally friendly with everything, it needs to be in every aspect of your brand. And packaging is a huge aspect of your brand for a food business. So like you mentioned, if there's excess packaging that's not needed, or like some things that I've seen with brands, it's very interesting is that I'll buy a product that if it's from a company that has an image of being sustainable or environmentally friendly, it'll come in this nicely designed craft box. And then it's packaged with styrofoam on the inside.
Doesn't make sense.
What's the point? Like, there's different, you may have been able to save money by just rather than going with styrofoam, go with a recycled kind of cardboard material to like, and it was obviously like to protect the product. Like, you can do that in other ways that don't require plastic or styrofoam. So if you're going to, if it's part of your brand DNA to be environmentally friendly, do it in all areas, please. And that goes for everyone who's listening. Like, and I would encourage, obviously, hold those accountable that are the brands that you follow to, and ask them why they aren't making those decisions. Moving on to, we'll see, where was I going to go? The I don't know if it's maybe sort of related to being sustainable. One trend that I'm seeing, actually, these two kind of go together. I'm seeing more flexible packaging as an option compared to whether it's glass or plastic bottles or something, but even in or rather than boxes. But I'm seeing more. So you're seeing more pouches of different types of products, and then along with that, just more resealable products in general. So people, if the products you're selling are not single serving, type of products, then it's something that can be resealed. So a lot of times where I say this ties into the flexible packaging and the pouches is that you have a zipper on the top of the pouch. And I see this, I've seen it recently in some chip bags, like probably more for like your private label brands, like your store brands and stuff, rather than the large big names like Fritos, Doritos, stuff like that. But seeing it more in the smaller products, the non-chip products, seeing resealable zippers, and then even in like Oreos, like it's the resealable top and stuff. So what do you think? I mean, what do you think about that? You think it's something that'll stick? Do you think it's something that's good? Is it worth it? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think consumers want more of that. So I think we will see more of like resealable for like the Oreos, let's say, or for like chips and things like that. It definitely costs more for people's packaging though. Like that's a thing. And it's like some of the pieces, like the pouch, I personally am not a pouch fan whatsoever. From like a brand owner, I see a lot of people want to do it because it is cheaper and it can be mm-hmm. more sustainable than some other options there. I just, you know, I cannot imagine myself ever consuming something from a pouch as a grown woman personally.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily love it. It's a lot easier for shipping though, for a ton of people mm-hmm. From a packaging perspective. So that is really huge. Like shipping glass around the country is expensive. So that it can be a better way for sure. But yeah, I think we'll see more of that like resealable type piece. I think I'm seeing a lot of people offer kind of this like bulk packaging for certain pieces mm-hmm. or it's individual. Sure. So if we're going to go more on that bulk, then, you know, people are going to want that more resealable piece for that, keep it fresh for longer. And then on the flip side, there's a lot of people just for that individual consumer piece and kind of like less in that like middle zone right now. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the, do you like the pouches? Are you a pouch drinker?
So I'm not, no. Okay. I'm with you. When it comes to experience and even as a designer, like, yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I get it. Like you said, like the main reason that people are doing it is because of the cost. It is cheaper to do that. I don't think it's necessarily a great experience. Like I'm not a wine drinker, but my wife has drinked, like now instead of boxes of wine, there are pouches of wine. I've had other clients who haven't gone through with it, but they at least explored a pouch as a container for cold brew coffee. And
I've seen that before.
I'm not a fan of it. I just feel like there's better options when it comes to like having your brand image, your brand message. Flexible packaging like pouches is just, it's not a flat enough surface. So you're playing with creases, you're playing with dents. So you have lots of shading and highlights that comes in that you have no control over. It can look wrinkled. It's easy for like the tops of your pouch to flap over depending if it fits nicely on the shelf. There's just a lot of variables that can affect how it looks on the shelf. And it's not, it's hard. It's just hard to control. Now for the products that are using pouches instead of a cylinder container, like a bottle, I get that it's not going to twist around. And that's one advantage that you get from using a pouch because you've got a front and a back. So it's very mm-hmm. clear if an employee walks by and sees that your pouch is turned sideways, they're going to turn it right. But if it's a cylinder, they're less likely to do that maybe because it's not going to catch their eye. Right. So different things to consider, but I'm not a fan of it.
You know, it takes me to like this functionality perspective. Like it just seems very functional. And I mean, food and bev, the CPG industry is like, it's so much more than that. It really needs to be an experience. I get it. If you have a super functional brand, sure, if that's what you want to get across, it might make sense there. But I don't find it a good user experience for sure. But I like the point that you mentioned too, where it's really easy for store employees to know like front or back. That is something that can like, if you are building your packaging, you need to take that into consideration. And you as a designer, like you always have those pieces in mind for mm-hmm. anyone that you're working with.
Yeah. Now, obviously even with the cylinder style of packaging, there is always a front and back. Like you have your primary display panel. And those are things, if you're not familiar with the FDA requirements, listeners, this is for you for sure. If you're not familiar with those things, it's pretty easy to look through. There's lots of good resources out there. Otherwise, reach out to me at aviditycreative.com and we'll just talk through like things in your packaging that you need to make sure you have there. But it's always part of our process too when we're working with clients. But even on your cylinder bottle or something, it's always pretty easy to tell which is the front or back. The point that I was getting at is like, it's if you have a six pack of cans of whatever your health drink or your energy drink is, they may not all be facing the same direction. Whereas if you have pouches, it's a pretty clear you know, if something's facing the right direction. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I did this. This brings up an interesting story. We're going to wrap up here in the next few minutes or so. But I did get into a weird argument with someone one time about cylinder style packaging versus box style packaging. And we were talking particularly about one of my clients' projects that we had just finished was a product called Egg in a Cup. So it's kind of a competitor of like, I don't know if it was like, did Jimmy Dean make like their breakfast cup, whatever. But it was basically a scrambled egg in a cup that you add water to, microwave, and you've got your breakfast. But it's in a cylindrical cup. And the guy tried to make a point that it was terrible to use this cup because it can get turned and then it's facing backwards on the shelf. And the point that I was trying to make to him, and this goes to the user experience that maybe we can talk about here in a minute too, but when you think about user experience, if you were to try to make eating that product out of a box that you're holding, because it's a single serving thing, imagine trying to use that with a spoon, like getting into the corners of this, and, you know, it's just not going to work, right?
No.
And even with a cylinder, employees of grocery stores are trained to spot when things are not facing forward. Like, they know what facing means. That's probably part of all of their training. Even if they're just stocking or they're just walking the shelves, like, it's pretty easy for them to spot, and they're pretty good at turning things the right way. I would say you walk through a grocery store, it's not like every single item is turned a different direction. 99% of the products in there are all facing the right way, and they're all pushed to the edge of the shelf. It's because stores know that that's what sells easiest. So anyways, tangent and a little bit of me just venting a little bit. So I'm telling that guy that none of you know, he's wrong, I'm right, you know. So anyways, let's move on. I have one other topic maybe want to touch on too, but I want to ask you, do you see anything like innovative or technology wise that's being used that is maybe like on trend right now, or any prediction even?
Yeah. So from a package design perspective, I mean, I know a few people like that I've worked with that they're looking to integrate more AR into their packaging. Little things like being able to bring your phone up to a label and, you know, getting to get immersed into the field of where, let's say, the olives are grown or something like that. So it's interesting. Are we going to see that grow? I could see some brands going like that. It does kind of naturally make sense that mm-hmm. we will start to see some of that technology built into it. From a design perspective, I think it can be really cool if it's done right. I think the biggest piece is like when QR codes first came out in, gosh, I don't know, like 10 years ago.
2012 or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, it was a while ago. And like, they first came out, everyone's like, oh my gosh, QR codes. And they're slapping them on everything. And they like, they didn't add any value. And no. I still see people today wanting to put it on their package. And it's like, well, what is the value being added? If it can add mm-hmm. value, absolutely. And make sure that it's really, really clear on what value I'm going to get from that. So I think if people start to try to build something on their label from a design perspective where they can integrate things like AR, that augmented reality, for anyone who isn't really aware of that. So like if you bring your – basically what it would be is like you put your phone up to something, your camera will be able to bring parts of a label to life or take you into a bit of an immersive experience. That would be considered mm-hmm. Augmented reality. So I think if it's done right, I can see certain brands – continuing down that path, but it just needs to be done delicately. Like, don't go down the path of the useless QR code that takes us nowhere. You know what I mean? It really does need to be done right.
Yeah. Didn't Uncle Ben's Rice do something like that? And maybe it wasn't them. But
I don't know. Did they?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look this up because now, as soon as you said AR and you're talking about like, oh, like, you know what? I feel like I remember seeing a product where it was like, you went up to it and pointed your camera and Uncle Ben on the packaging started talking to you. But it might have been some other product. But like that would be a good example of like, it's interesting, it's engaging. My hang up with doing stuff like with AR, and this is not to say that it's not going to be a trend or isn't right now being used. I don't know. I could see it being like the QR code where it's cool, but are people stopping in the aisles to do that? You know, I don't know.
Totally.
I'd be interested to see like what happens. And as a designer who just likes cool things, I hope so. But like you right. already said, does it add value? So the thing that I was going to talk about, you already touched on, is QR codes. I'm starting to see them come back. As a designer, I hate it because they're hard to work with and like they just don't look pretty. It's hard to make them look good. People want to fit them into shapes. I'm like, it doesn't look good, however you put it. So I would suggest if anyone is thinking about putting a QR code on their packaging, do it in a subtle and discreet way that's like, it's a secondary thing. It's not a focal point on your packaging at all. It shouldn't be larger than the benefits or in features of your product. Like you're calling out your grams of protein for a healthy product. Like don't make it a focal point. Put it on the back of the package somewhere. But I can see it being used in some really creative ways where it brings up a recipe, and not even just like a written recipe, a video of how to cook the recipe with the list of ingredients that you can buy, and the recipe goes with your product, of course.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say there's definitely cases that make it worth it, but having a QR code that goes just right to your website, it's probably not a great idea because people can just type in your name into their phone and it takes them less time than scanning a QR code. But what I think is helping them come back is that it didn't work in 2012 because phones weren't prepared for it. You had to download an app to be able to use a QR code. Now phones have adapted in a way that you just pull up your camera and it sees it and then you can use the QR code.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Like technology maybe wasn't there. And then I feel like we had some marketers being like too gun happy for new tech and like didn't use it properly. And now I think if it's done right, it can add so much value. Like a client I'm working with right now, we're putting together their new package for a new product that's coming out. And we've got a QR code that is going to a whole slew of recipes that they can make with this product. You can't find these recipes on their website. It is really going to be like exclusive for this. I have another client that we just wrapped up some work together on their new packaging. They've used a QR code that's going to talk more about their social mission because, you know, some things we only have so much space on the back of a pack. And I'm with you. Please don't ever put it on the front of a pack. Put it on your back of pack where it makes sense.
Yes. And
let it build more value. And I think you raised a good point too when you talked about it with the AR, where it's like, are people going to do this in stores? Probably not. And they're not going to do it with the QR code as well. Where I see both working really well, if it's done right, is building that brand affinity and being able to like build that deeper connection with a brand because you've now given me some, you know, additional information. I already got the product at home and it's like, let me dive deeper with you in this relationship between this brand and myself. And it can be cool. I think people could do some really great things with it. But I would imagine as a designer, it's tough, you know, it's tough.
Anything else that you're seeing innovative that comes to mind, whether it's technology related or not, otherwise, or anything, any other trends that you feel like you want to make sure that we touch on before we leave?
Yeah, it's interesting. The one other trend I wanted to just kind of touch on is like, what I'm seeing a lot more of is like big kind of like splashy fonts, colors. Like we are going into this retro time. We kind of talked about 90s. I'm seeing a little bit of this like 70s like psychedelic type piece as well. And a lot of that comes through in the fonts and all of that. I'm not sure if that will continue. I feel like it is it's niche. But it really doesn't connect with me personally. And I'm seeing it's a very niche, like super hipster crowd that is going there. Yeah. But I am seeing it more, and some people are loving it. So
yeah, I agree with you. I've seen the same thing too, and it tends to come with very bright colors. not necessarily muted. It's not the, like, maybe to bring this full circle, we talked about at the beginning with minimalism and the two different styles that you mentioned of being more muted and nature-y versus the like super minimalist and kind of bold. This is in that bolder style where it's, there is some craziness that maybe is coming along with it, with that psychedelic like 70s era font styles. But I'm tending to see it more often used in very bright, almost neon colors. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I certainly there's cases where it's been the other way around. I particularly even used a similar font style on a project that was more masculine, and it went with, it was a coffee product that was paired with cigars, and it was this very like super masculine retro style that we did with a black bag and gold accents. So it wasn't super vibrant, but it's probably one of the fewer cases, more of the exception to the trend rule, I suppose you'd say. But well, Ainsley, it's been great to have you on, and like I feel like we could talk for another 30 minutes, but I want to be respectful of your time. And just want to say, like, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking about trends. Maybe we'll do trends again next year, but otherwise I'd love to have you on again, and we'll talk about some other topic around food and beverage businesses.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on, Adam. I love talking shop with you, and always just love talking about design and anything in the packaged food industry. So yeah, look forward to chatting, whether it be offline or online again.
Cool. Awesome. Well, listeners, thanks for sticking with us through this. You know, watch for more episodes to come here soon. We're going to probably be releasing this before a whole season, but we have tons of topics that are going to be coming up for people who are starting their business, or if you've maybe been in business for a little while with a food or beverage product and you're just ready to be legitimate and take that next step, and you know, maybe you're getting some momentum, but you want to learn how to increase your sales on the shelf. You want to learn how to reach out and find new customers. Or if you want to get into those bigger stores. So we're going to be covering all those different topics and more. So watch for that to come soon, and, you know, like and subscribe, as they say, right? So we'll see you next time on the Food Business Podcast.